Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward. This week, we bring you more from our salute to Fibber, McGee, and Molly. By the early 1940s, they were one of the three most popular shows on radio, and new characters played by different actors were introduced. Gildersleeve was so popular that there was a spin-off series called The Great Gildersleeve. Marion Jordan continued to do the voice of the little girl, Teeny. In this episode, Fibber gets a $100 bill, hoping to impress all of his friends. Let's see how that goes. Enjoy Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Fibber gets a $100 bill. First broadcast, January 7th, 1941, on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber, McGee, and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with My Mind's on You. Again with that old problem, how to remember to write 1941 instead of 1940 on the top of our letters. May I suggest an easy way to solve that problem? Get out your pencil and paper and write this sentence 10 times. This is 1941, and I am going to use Johnson's self-polishing glow coat on my linoleum floors this year. If you keep that resolution, you'll be doing yourself a great favor, because glow coat not only saves time and work, but it saves you. Saves your hands and your back by doing away with tiresome floor scrubbing. Glow Coat also saves your linoleum because it makes it last much longer. It keeps it fresh and new-looking. Glow Coat needs no rubbing or buffing. That's why it's called self-polishing. Simply apply and let dry, and in 20 minutes, your linoleum floor is something to be proud of. If you're not already using Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat, don't put off trying it. Well, now that the McGees have refinanced all their last year's bills, all they have to worry about is 1941, or in other words, from now on. And here at the 14th National Bank at 14th and Oak, Wistful Vista, drawing $100 for current expenses, we find, guess who?
Well, here you are, cashier. Give us $100, please.
How do you want it? What denomination?
Never mind that. You go to your church and we'll go to ours. You just give it to us in cash.
Yes, madam. But what size bill?
Hey, look, bud. For once in my life, I want to feel prosperous. Give me a crisp, crackly $100 bill, will you?
Don't you need some small change, dearie?
No, just a quarter for the parking lot, and I got a quarter.
Here you are, Mr. McGee. A $100 bill.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. A $100 bill. Ain't it beautiful? Come on, Molly. Let's go out and see if we can meet a few friends.
I don't think you should have got that $100 in one bill, dearie.
Huh?
Better let me carry it.
Oh, no, I'll carry it. I only hope we meet Gildersleeve. I'll pull this bill out kind of nonchalant and just stand there and watch his eyes bug out.
Yes. Or Mrs. Uppington.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'd love to flash this on her. As it is, she thinks we're very impecunious.
You mean impecunious, dearie?
I do not. Impecunious is when you do stuff without thinking.
That's impetuous.
I thought impetuous meant a gal that doesn't care.
No, that's non-competitive.
Oh, well then... Well, what does impecunior mean?
There isn't any such word.
There ain't? Well, that just goes to show you how stimulating it is to carry a flock of dough. I get my mitts on a $100 bill, and the first thing you know, I'm making up new words.
Well, keep them clean, dearie. Here's the parking lot, and you better let me take that money.
Oh, no, I'm of age. You know I never lose money. Hey, bud, get my car, will you?
Okay, mister. Two 2 bits, please.
Okay, here's a quarter, Bud. Hey, grab that quarter. Grab that quarter.
I think it went under this car here, Mr. Ascendant.
I don't see it, lady.
Well, it rolled over that way, I think. Hey, Molly. Molly, it didn't go that far.
It didn't?
No, come out from under that Cadillac. You see that quarter anyplace, Bud?
No, I don't.
Well, give him another quarter, dearie.
I ain't got another quarter. You give him a quarter.
I haven't got a cent with me.
Well, look, Bud, all I got with me is this $100 bill, see? I guess that'll show I'm responsible.
Hey, aren't you Fibber McGee, the actor?
That's right.
I thought so. Put that stage money away and show me 2 bits in cash. Hurry up. I ain't got all day.
Now, wait a minute. After all, there's a quarter laying around here somewhere. You let us take our car, and when we drive away, you'll be able to find the quarter.
I'm sorry. No quarter, no car.
Well, guess we better go back to the bank.
We can't.
Why not?
It's 3:10. The bank's closed.
Oh, they'd open up again for a good customer.
I know, but that doesn't do us any good.
Oh, I know. We'll walk up to the Elks Club, and I'll pay my back dues. Shucks, they'll be so glad to get them, they'll change this bill without blinking.
How much are your back dues?
You see, I'm paid up through 1938. There's a 1937. A couple of assessments and locker fees. Tore the cloth on the pool table in 1939. Oh, about $97.
I see. Mm-hmm. So you'll come out of the Elks with only $3.
Yeah.
Why, that's enough to set your tooth on edge.
Ah, dear.
I know.
Well, I guess we'll just have to tramp around town and find somebody to change this bill before... Uh-oh, we're safe. Here comes Mrs. Uppington. And for once in my life, I'm glad to see the old moose.
McGee, stop referring to Mrs. Uppington as an old moose.
Oh, well.
For shame. And you who pretend to love animals. Why, it's... Ah, hello, Abigail, darling. So nice to see you, and I do mean nice.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy. How much dough you got?
Well, counting my stock in United States Steel, my AT&T, and my government bond, I don't consider it any of your business, Mr. McGee.
Now, look, Abigail, he wasn't being personal. That was just his tactful way of asking how much you have on you.
Well, I have on some long woolen... It is still not any of your business.
Hey, Uppy, look. You see this? $100 bill.
Oh, yes, but please. Please stop waving it in my face, Miss McGee. Don't you realize that paper money is simply laden with germs?
Well, that's the first good news I've had today. I'd love to get caught in an epidemic of $100 bills.
Mrs. Uppington, to make the whole thing short and sweet, can you make change for this?
To be equally short and not quite so sweet, Miss McGee, no, I can't. And if I may presume to advise you, I think you're being rather silly to flourish such a large sum of money about.
Oh, don't worry about me, Uppy. I'm used to handling big hunks of mazuma. Why, when I was in Vaudeville, I used to carry a roll of bills as big around as your arm.
Oh, bigger, McGee. Yes. She's pretty skinny in the arm.
Gee, Mrs. McGee, I...
Yes, sir. I not only carried my own money, but everybody in Vaud owed me dough. Vaudio Doe McGee, I was called. Bodio Doe McGee, voted by variety, the versatile virtuoso of the violin, the viola, and the velocipede, voyaging from Venice to Venezuela via Vancouver and Vicksburg with a valise full of very valuables, veteran ventriloquist with a voice and vocabulary as vociferous and voluble as the volcano Vesuvius and vice versa, very vain of my vocation as a viol and verb vocalist, voicing and versifying the valuable volumes of Virgil, Verdi, Voltaire, and Vincho, with a vigor and a verb and a boom and a bim, the Vanderbilt of Vaudeville, and I was him.
Thank you.
Should go back to the parking lot, McGee, and look for that quarter you lost.
What? Me with a $100 bill grubbing around in the dirt for a measly 2 bits? Why, that's like asking R.J. Reynolds to roll his own cigarette.
Look, dearie, you've tried to get that bill changed in 5 different places, and I'm getting tired of walking. And I'm cold, too, and hungry. How far are we from home?
Tomorrow night, East Lynn. Oh, about 2.5 miles. You tired, Ma?
I'm a tired. I'm so tired my calves are mooing at each other. If you hadn't been so careless about losing that quarter,
hey,
why...
Hey, wait. So, ain't this where the old-timer lives?
Search me, is it?
Why, sure. There he is in the window. Hey, old-timer. Hey, we want to talk to you. Stick your head out the window. Hello there, kids. Happy New Year.
Dave, you stuck your head right through the glass, Mr. Oldtimer.
Ain't that what Johnny told me to do?
I just said to stick your head out. Why didn't you open the window?
Didn't want it. Too cold.
Well, look now, Mr. Oldtimer. We have a $100 bill that nobody can change. How about lending his cab fare home?
Can't.
Why not?
Send home a dough New Year's Eve.
Well, how about driving us home in your car?
Can't.
Why not?
Ain't got any pants, daughter. Split him, doing the rumba New Year's Eve.
And how about lending us your car for a couple of hours?
Can't.
Why not?
Ain't got a car. Wrecked it New Year's Eve.
Well, I guess that's that, then. Well, I'm sorry to bother you, old-timer. As the ball player says when he kissed the third baseman goodbye, I better be getting home.
Yes, and as the boy says when he joined the army, I better be getting in before the draft gets me.
It's a panic, Molly. Me with a $100 bill in my pocket, and we can't even buy a ride home. Anybody think... Ooh.
What's the matter, dearie?
My foot. I'm getting a blister, I guess.
Oh,
let's walk a little slower, Molly. So
well, hello there, Fibber. Hello, Molly. Just the people I wanted to see.
You're just the guy we wanted to see, too, Harlow. Look, can you...
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I want to show you a letter. It's from the sponsor. It says, Dear Harlow, the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat...
Oh, get on with the letter. We know what they make.
Quit interrupting me. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat wish to express their appreciation of your work during the past year.
Ah, heavenly days. Mr. Wilcox has got a job, McGee. Where are you working, Mr. Wilcox?
Doggone it, they mean my work on this program.
Oh, that. Well, go on.
You have done such a wonderful job of telling people the real merits of Johnson's Wax, of its hundreds of uses in protecting and beautifying surfaces against scratches and dirt and wear, and of its manifold benefits.
I should think a manifold would get pretty hot to use Johnson's Wax on, but they
quiet, dearie. Go on, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, that's about all, but the best part is that they enclosed 5 $100 bills as a Christmas present. Isn't that wonderful? Look, you ever see one before?
Yeah, we've seen one before.
And that's every cent I have with me. Not another nickel. Imagine that. Hey, can you lend me a couple of bucks till I break a bill? Hey, what are you laughing at?
Believe it or not, Howard, we were just going to ask you the same thing. Look, all we got is a $100 bill, too. All
well, imagine that. That's one for Ripley, isn't it? Hey, here comes my wife. She'll give me a ride downtown. Hey, Wilcox, give me a lift.
Hey, Harlow, how about it, Harlow? Can you drop us at our house? I got a sore foot.
Sorry, pal. Don't you see the sign on our windshield? No riders? Step on it, sweetie pie. I'm late. So long, folks.
Hey, well, I'll be an old Hemingway expression.
You're not Hemingway. You're not even Ernest. If you were, you'd have spent more time looking for that quarter you lost.
Oh, well, well.
2 miles from home, and here we can't...
Oh, take it easy, Molly. I'll stop in somewhere and call somebody. Gildersleeve will drive down and rescue us.
What are you going to use for a nickel to call him up?
Huh? Yeah, I never thought of that. Let's see, somebody ought to...
Hi, Mr. McGee, hi.
Oh, hello there, little girl. Where are you going?
Down to the candy store and buy some candy, I bet you.
Oh.
Okay, I got 4 cents.
Oh, 4 cents, eh? Sure you ain't got 5 cents?
No, I just got 4. Oh.
What say we make a deal, sis? You lend me your 4 pennies until tomorrow, and I'll give you your 4 pennies back and 25 pennies to boot.
To boot who?
Not to boot anybody. I mean 25 pennies interest. Then you'll have 29 pennies. Think how much candy you can buy for 29 cents.
No, thanks, mister. I'd rather have a sucker today than be one tomorrow, I always say.
Oh, you would, eh?
Hmm?
Let's discuss this a little further, sis. I think we can still make a deal somehow. Oh, I know. Look, I'll tell you what. You give me your 4 cents today, and I'll give you $1 tomorrow. Is it a deal?
Okay, partner.
Fine. Give me the pennies.
Here you are.
Thanks, sis. Oh, you're a fine little girl.
I know it.
You've helped us out of a bad spot, sis. Aren't you glad?
Yes, I is.
You mean, yes, I am.
No, I mean, yes, I is.
Well, that ain't grammatical, sis. It ain't proper to say I is.
It is, too, I bet you.
Well, what's your authority?
Well, what's the 9th letter in the alphabet?
I is.
You see? I had you there. I'll see you tomorrow morning early. So long, mister.
Well, now we're getting somewhere, Molly. Now I can call up Gildersleeve.
Now, wait a minute, McGee.
Huh?
4 cents isn't a nickel, you know. What are you going to do for the other penny?
Oh, I got one on my watch chain, see? My lucky piece.
Oh, yeah.
It'll have a hole in it, but it's still good. Wait till I yank it off. There. Now, come on in this cigar store while I call Gildy. Hey, Bud, give me a nickel for these pennies, will you?
Okay, mister.
Thanks. Now, where's the telephone? Oh, here it is. Hello, operator? Give me the residence of Throckmorton P. Gil... Huh? Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
How's every little thing, Mert? Says, eh? What say, Mert? Your little brother. I'll bet that made his hair stand on end.
Oh, heavenly days. What made his hair stand on end, dearie?
He hung a carrot from the top of the rabbit hutch. Look, Mert, I'm trying to call Gildersleeve because we're stuck downtown. Hello? Hello? Mert? Hello? Hey, Mert! Answer me, Mert! Hey, Mert! Give me my nickel back!
No,
Mert!
No.
Hello? Hello?
The King's Men sing, I Hear a Rhapsody.
When you're near to me, my dear,
and when you say
you love me, winds that sigh
and birds that cry,
they all convey
a lovely rhapsody. And when I hear you call so softly to me,
I don't hear a call at all,
I hear a rhapsody. And when your sparkling eyes are smiling at me,
then soft through the starlit sky,
I hear a rhapsody. My days are so blue when you're away. My heart longs for you, so won't you stay?
Can't you hear me, Merc? It's me, Fibber. Hey, Merc. Ah, dad rat of luck. We were cut off, Molly.
So I gathered.
Hey, bud. You got change for a $100 bill in the cash register?
Brother, all there is in this till is 87 cents, three IOUs, and the boss's false key.
Okay, come on, Molly.
Well, how does your big bill look to you now, Pelican?
Now, that helped. Now I know what they mean by cold cash, Molly. This asset is frozen so hard it looks like the Green River in February. Oh, boy, I'd like to sit down and take this shoe off. My feet are killing me.
Oh, there. Happy New Year to you, my dear. And a fantastic 41 to you, too, Burp Twerp.
Well, thank you, Mr. Boomer. The same to you.
Hi, Boomer. Hey, can you change a $100 bill?
Why, certainly. I've changed thousands of them.
Oh, my.
What do you want to change to, a $500 bill? Change it too much, the great white father down in Washington is liable to become slightly annoyed.
No, Mr. Boomer. You don't understand. We want the bill broken.
Yeah. We need some smaller bills.
Oh, I see. How do you want it, Lord Can?
Anyway, just give us something we can spend, that's all.
Certainly. I have a number of small bills right here somewhere. I'll put those small bills. Here's a memo to visit my lawyer's office. My late uncle left me an alarm clock, and I must wind up the estate. Message from Sheila the shoplifter. Says she got into an argument with a couple of detectives and was dragged in by the heels. His pawn ticket for a smoking jacket. Yes, all that's left of a hot overcoat. Bottle of peroxide for my old gray mare, just to make it a horse of a different color. And a check for a short eggnog. Well, imagine that. No change for 100. As the union organizer said when he dug the buckshot out of his agent, somebody's popped my ticket. Well, good day, my dear. To you, Bud Frank.
McGee?
My foot. I must have a blister on it. Oh, what a day.
Well, hello there, folks. Lovely day for a walk, isn't it?
No, it ain't, Gildersleeve.
We're not walking from choice, Mr. Gildersleeve.
No.
McGee lost our last 25 cents and we couldn't get our car out of the parking lot.
Well, shucks, I couldn't...
What makes you so clumsy, McGee? Oh. My goodness, you even play cards like you had boxing gloves on.
Oh, yeah? You ain't any gazelle yourself, you big gazebo.
I'm not as ham-handed as you are.
Oh, no.
Look, I've got long, tapering fingers, like an artist.
Yeah. You got a long, tapering nose for other people's business, too.
You're a hard man, McGee. And by George...
Oh, no, look, Mr. Gildersleeve, look.
Don't you up to me.
We'll forget the last quarter. The lost quarter.
Yes, the lost quarter. Lost it in the first quarter. You got change for a $100 bill, Gildersleeve?
Well, thank I don't know, McGee.
Well, usually when I carry a lot of $100 bills, Gildersleeve, I carry some small stuff, too, but I caught short today.
Yeah? Don't give me that baloney, McGee. A wad of $100 bills. I'll bet you carry a roll that would choke a June bug. Here, let me see that bill.
Okay, take a good look.
What are you picking at it for, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I want to see if it's genuine. It hasn't got any little silk threads in the paper. It's no good, McGee.
Oh, maybe we should have got a written guarantee from the worm that spun the silk, Gildersleeve. As a matter of fact, I tried to get one, but he wiggled out of it. Don't you get it? I think...
Ain't funny, McGee.
I know it. Kind of repulsive, too. Well, Gildersleeve, how about it?
Well, I guess it's good, all right. I mean the bill. Here's $320s. Three tens, a five, and five ones. How's that, McGee?
Gee, thanks, pal.
I'll have a lot of fun flashing this $100 bill to my friends.
Ah, yes. Famous last word. Yes. Well, good day, Mr. Gildersleeve.
So long, folks.
So long, Gil.
Oh,
Fox.
Goody. $100 bill.
Ah, boy. Good old
Great guy, Gil. Well, come on, Molly. Let's call a taxi cab now.
McGee, don't you realize where we are?
What do you mean?
Look, we're right in front of our own house.
Oh, sure. We walked up?
Sure.
Oh. Well, come on in. I got to do something about this.
Oh, dear. Heavenly days. Home sweet home.
Ain't it wonderful? Get me some iodine, will you, Molly? I think I got a big blister on my foot.
Oh, let's see it, dearie.
Well, I get my shoe off. There. Shucks, I wouldn't...
What was that?
What was what, Molly?
I thought I heard something drop.
You did? Must have been some... Hey, look, I ain't got a blister at all. Must have been a wrinkle in my sock. Oh, boy, what a relief. I thought
McGee,
for a while...
Look me in the eye.
Which one?
Both of them. What did I hear drop when you took your shoe off?
Why, what did it sound like?
You tell me.
Did it sound like a quarter that somebody might have dropped and couldn't find, and there it was in his shoe all the time?
It did.
It was.
I'd like to talk just for a moment to the new housewives in our audience. Will the rest of you who've heard my story before pardon me for a moment? Your grandmothers tried to keep their linoleum floors clean by continually scrubbing them, putting down newspapers while they were drying. What did that continuous scrubbing accomplish? First, it was hard work. Second, it never really kept the linoleum clean. It never protected it. And third, it actually in time ruined it. Cracks and bumps appeared, the linoleum split and had to be renewed. But that was before the days of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. You'll never have a linoleum floor problem again once you start protecting your kitchen floors with this easy-to-use floor polish. Glow coat needs no rubbing or buffing. It's self-polishing. It dries in 20 minutes, leaving your floors sparkling with beauty and protected against scratches, dirt, and wear. Easy to keep clean, colors fresh and bright. So let me urge you to buy a can of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat right away and save yourself many hours of work all year.
Well, that was some hike we had, wasn't it, Molly?
Certainly was, dearie.
Yeah.
Shall I get your house slippers for you?
Oh, no. You're tired, too. I'll get them. Where are they?
On the shelf in the closet.
In here?
Yes. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
Attention car owners. Have you tried Johnson's sensational new auto polish called Carnew? Do you know that Carnew has cut the job of wax polishing right in half, makes the cost very low? Carnew actually does two jobs at one and the same time, cleans and wax polishes your car in one operation. So now it's a cinch for you to keep your car new looking. And everybody knows it's more fun driving a shiny car than a dingy one. Buy a can of Johnson's Carnew right away, spelled C-A-R-N-U. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward. We broadcast weekly over the World Wide Web. Subscribe at no charge on iTunes, Podbean, or RSS. Next, we have another hilarious episode in which Molly finds some old love letters as they do their fall cleaning. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly, Fall House Cleaning. First broadcast October 21st, 1941 on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with songs by Martha Tilton and the King's Men, and music by Billy Mills. The show opens with Sing a Song of Spring.
Thank you.
and Molly will be here in just a moment. One of the most interesting things to me in all of business is the way chemists and engineers are constantly improving old products and bringing out new ones. The last time I went through the Johnson's Wax Laboratories, for example, I got a big kick out of all the things they've been doing with wax. Now, you know the regular Johnson products we talk about on this program. Genuine Johnson's Wax for floors, Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat for linoleum, Johnson's Car New Auto Polish, and the new Cream Wax for furniture. But that's not the half of it. The makers of Johnson's Wax have created a great many other wax polishes for special uses. And now they've made a new kind of paint that's got wax in it. They call it Johnson's Wax Enamel. And I can tell you it gives the most beautiful enamel finish I've ever seen. And it's longer wearing and easier to clean, too, because of the wax in it. Dealers are now offering Johnson's Wax Enamel in 19 stunning colors. Why not ask your dealer if he carries it? The saddest phrase to man or mouse is, "Come on, sweetheart, let's clean the house." And here at number 79, where life till now was smooth and fine, comes labor, tough and acrobatic, like hauling junk down from the attic. Wives wallow in it, men think it folly. Like these two, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Let's sit down a while and rest, Molly. Are you sweating as much as I am?
McGee.
Huh?
Horses sweat. Men perspire and ladies glow.
Okay, so I'm a horse. I'm a pack horse. I'm an overworked, sway-back, mistreated beast of burden. And would you please lead me out to the kitchen and fill my trough full of root beer?
You can have a root beer later. I want to get all this stuff sorted and thrown away. Now, for instance, look at those books in the shelf there.
Yeah?
We've got to weed those out, too. Well,
which one shall we toss out?
Well, let's throw away the two on the ends and keep the one in the middle.
What is the one in the middle?
Franklin's autobiography.
Oh, I want to read that. That Franklin was a great auto. Come in.
Hello there, kids. What you doing?
Why, hello, Mr. Oldtimer. We're doing a bit of house cleaning. You want to help?
For how much?
2 bits an hour and feed your own Charlie horses.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says, t'other feller, says, "Who's this feller feudal that's been working with Fibber and Molly?" "Search me," says t'other feller. "Where'd you hear about him?" "In this radio column," says the first feller. "See here? It says, 'Feudal attempts to be funny on Johnson's Wax Show.'" Nothing personal, kid. You know how I feel about you. So if you know how I really feel about you, you'll have to take it even more personal than ever. Oh, never was one. Oh, hey!
Now what?
Got a telegram for you.
Oh.
Here, Johnny, sign here.
Oh, thanks, old-timer. How much of a tip do you usually get?
How much you usually give?
Oh, nothing. McGee says when you accept a tip, it undermines your character.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a quarter and let her topple. Thanks, Johnny.
Well, who's the wire from, McGee?
I'll see. Hey, it's from my brother, Alexander.
Zan?
Yeah.
Why, you haven't heard from him in a long time.
No.
What's he say?
Says, arrived okay in San Francisco. Tough trip, tired but happy.
What's he mean, tough trip?
Oh, he lost an election bet and had to push a peanut with his nose from New York to San Francisco. Yeah.
Heavenly days. Well, he still made pretty good time, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know. He bet against McKinley.
Well, let's get busy, McGee. The sooner we get to work, the sooner we'll get through.
Yes, and the sooner we didn't start this in the first place, the quicker I'd be much happier right now. If I'd ever realized what... What you got there?
Never you mind.
Well, what you blushing about? What you reading?
Well, if you must know, it's some old love letters.
You mean you've been keeping them things?
Sure.
You can't get me for a breach of promise now.
Here. Smell them, McGee.
What do you mean, smell them? Did I write that bad?
Now, don't be silly. I've been keeping them in sachets.
Well, you can sachet right back up to the attic with them. I don't want them things laying around.
Well, I promise you, dearie, as soon as I read them through once more, they'll be burnt up.
And so will I.
Ah, this is a beautiful one. It says...
No, please, Molly. Now, not out loud. Somebody might be listening.
Well, if they aren't, we'll hear from Racine. But listen, this says, my precious blue-eyed butterfly.
Oh, sure.
My precious blue-eyed butterfly, spread your lovely golden wings and fly away with me tonight to a movie.
I sure took that flight of fancy into a tailspin, didn't I?
You certainly did.
Well, maybe my letters weren't so hot, but I had to do something to beat that other guy's time.
You mean Otis Cadwallader?
Yeah. Otis X Cadwallader.
What do you mean, X Cadwallader?
You know what I mean. He knew you were crazy about Francis X Bushman, so he put an X in his name, too.
Well, I think it was pretty devoted of him to change his name for me.
I done better than that. I changed your name for me. Well, anyway.
Oh, McGee. Listen to this one.
I won't listen.
All right. Heavenly days, this is sweet.
What's it say? I guess I kind of got a morbid curiosity about them. When a guy realizes what a drip he's been, it's too late to fix the faucet. That's an old saying I just made up.
Ah, oh, this is beautiful. It says, I'll never forget the time I first touched your little hand. It was inside a bag of popcorn at the ball game.
That's disgusting. Mooning over touching a gal's greasy little mitt and a big bag of salty popcorn.
Will you hear some of the others?
I don't want to hear any more. Are we going to get this house cleaned out or aren't we?
Oh, there's no hurry, dearie. I'm having fun.
Well, I'm not. And if you persist in reading that tripe, I'm going to...
You're going to what?
I'm going to lock myself away somewhere so as I won't hear you.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I will.
Where?
Right in here. While I'm in here, I'll straighten out this closet.
The King's Men sing Little Brown Jug.
My wife and I live all alone in a little log hut we call our own. We're so happy, warm, and snug as long as we have our little brown jug. Ah, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Ah, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? When I'm working on my farm, I carry a little brown jug under my arm. I sit me down in the shade of a tree and I say, you fly, don't bother me. Ah, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Ah, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Little brown jug goes to my head and makes my nose a rosy red. In the dark it shines so bright, I never get lost on the blackest night. Ah, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Just we two, me and you, having a great big spree. My wife and me are as happy as a bug. We get along fine with a little brown jug. I beat her, she beats me. We love each other tenderly. Oh, oh, you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? In the winter time you warm my toes. Every time I tip you up, down it goes. Oh, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Oh, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Oh, 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 can't you see? I love the little brown jug for me.
Hey, Molly, I'm thirsty. Can I have some root beer now?
Later, McGee, later. Take that last box of rubbish out and then start taking the slipcovers off the furniture.
Oh, I want some root beer. Here I've been busting my biceps hauling this junk around, and you've been sitting there reading my silly old love letters.
Well, they're not silly.
Ah.
They're beautiful. Listen. Darling, when I hold you in my arms, mm-hmm. even the nightingale hushes his song. To listen to the music in my heart.
Yeah.
The moon...
Hello, folks. How's everything?
Why, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Harlow.
Well, what are you looking so grumpy about, pal?
Well, he's annoyed with me, Mr. Wilcox. Just because I found some of my old love letters in the attic and I've been reading them.
Well, Dad Ratted, ain't that enough to be annoyed about? Stuff a guy writes in his flaming youth makes him sound like a clinker at my age.
Let me read him one, dearie. Mr. Wilcox will judge for himself.
No. Don't be a pest with my past. Don't listen, Wilcox.
Oh, I want to hear this, Fibber. I was young once myself, you know.
Oh, yeah? You can't kid me. You were born in Racine, Wisconsin at the age of 25. With a derby hat, and your nurse used three-cornered order blanks for diet.
McGee!
Okay, they got it anyway.
That's enough of that now.
Okay, go ahead, Molly. Read my love letters to Wilcox. Break his heart, if any. What matters if I, poor fool, little knew that my innermost thoughts, my most sacred feelings, would be torn asunder for the laughter of the mob? What if I...
Oh, pipe down, Pagliacci. Your makeup is running. Go ahead, Molly. Let me hear one of the great lover's little outbursts of passion.
Well, here, I'll pick one out at random, Mr. Wilcox. The ink's a little faded, but I think I can make it out.
Yeah, when I write a letter, I make sure the ink stays.
When you do anything, it ink
stays. McGee. Are you ready, Mr. Wilcox?
Go ahead. Quote the stupid to me, Cupid.
Well, this one says, Dear Moonbeam.
Moonbeam.
Yes. Dear Moonbeam. I could not sleep last night for thinking of your sweet face.
I didn't write that stuff.
I got out of bed and dressed and walked over to your house and stood under your window thinking of you lying there asleep with your lovely hair forming a Niagara of gold on your silken pillow. Suddenly I burst into song like a troubadour of old, serenading his loved one. Then your window opened softly. And I got a pitcher of water on my head. Why didn't you tell me you had changed rooms with your old man, sweetheart?
That ratted, Molly. If you haven't got any more regard for my feelings...
Oh, be quiet, Fibber. What are you crabbing about? That stuff about the Niagara of gold was pretty snappy.
Well, I don't care if it was... Huh? You think it was, huh?
Certainly.
Oh.
Certainly it was. And, baby, I know love letters when I hear them, too.
Really?
Why, sure. I get love letters all the time.
Subtle, ain't he, folks? The Army deferred him when they heard the flat-footed way he gets into these things. Go ahead, Wilcox.
Well, listen to this. It's from a lady in St. Louis. Dear Mr. Wilcox, you've brought joy and happiness into the lives of us housewives. Learning about Johnson's self-polishing glow coat has given us time for movies and beauty parlors and bridge parties. We love you for showing us how to protect our linoleum against wear and tear with none of the old-fashioned scrubbing and rubbing and buffing.
Oh.
The work that used to take us hours, we can now do in 20 minutes or less. So with love to you and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, I am sending you a little token of affection. Wear it always next to your heart. Devotedly yours, Mrs. Well, never mind her name. Now that's a love letter that is a love letter.
Oh, what did she send you, Mr. Wilcox? A lock of her hair?
No, this. A tiny little corner of her linoleum. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, stop kissing it, you big ninny.
Well, when you use Glow Coat, you can afford to wear your heart on your sleeve, pal. It makes work so easy, you don't have to roll them up. So long now.
My, my. Mr. Wilcox never loses his enthusiasm, does he?
The only way Wilcox could lose his enthusiasm is for somebody to lose Wilcox. If anybody'd make me a decent...
Oh, McGee, now we got to get busy. Did you get all that junk carried out?
Yes, I did. While you were daydreaming over them slushy little missiles of mine.
No, you don't mean missiles. You mean missive.
I do not. Missive means big, oversized.
No. That's massive.
I thought a massive was the guy that gave you a massage.
Nah, that's a masseur.
Masseur is mister in French.
That's monsieur.
Well, then what's a missile?
A missile is something you throw.
That's what I say. Throw them letters out. I ain't going to stand around here and have everybody snickering at me. I'm just...
McGee.
Huh?
Calm yourself and call the junk man to haul away that rubbish.
Okay, give me the phone.
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me the whistle. This is junkyard at 14th and... Oh, is that you, Merch?
Every year the same thing.
How's every little thing, Merch?
Is eh?
What say, Merch? Your little brother.
Say what?
Cut off his feet.
Oh, McGee, how awful.
Oh, it was nothing. Her kid brother wanted to build a fire without matches at the Boy Scout show. It was quite a feat, but they didn't have time for it. What say, Merch? Oh, I'll call him later. Yeah, so long. Huh? What say, Mert? Your little sister. She what?
McGee, please, not another.
Oh. Okay. Tell me next week, Mert. Can't get the junk man on the phone, Molly.
Why not?
The junk man cut the wire down.
What for?
Junk. Hey, quit reading them letters, Molly. You promised me... Who's that?
Let me see. Oh, it's Mrs. Uppington.
Surely you don't mean Mrs. Abigail Uppington, the prominent, in certain places, society leader.
In the flesh. In the well-massaged, expensively corseted, slightly flabby flesh. Come in, Mrs. Flesh. Or Mrs. Uppington. How do you do, Mrs. Uppington? Why, this is a surprise.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Fabby. What cosmic upheaval has lured you out of your perfumed bower?
Oh, it's Fifi is lost.
Oh, heavenly days, your Pekingese.
Yes, my darling little Fifi. My baby. Oh, I'm so upset, really.
Oh, well, calm yourself, Uppy. Where was the little perp seen last?
Then how was she dressed, Abigail?
She was last seen down in the middle of the block. And she had on her best rhinestone collar, her sexy Avenue sweater, and her little I. Miller booties.
Don't that make you sick, Molly? I mean, to think of Fifi being lost.
Yeah, and better dressed than I am, too.
Now, please, my dear, no levity. I am horribly perturbed.
Why don't you advertise for her, Uppy?
Oh, it wouldn't do the slightest good, Mr. McGee. Fifi can't read.
Well, have you searched the neighborhood, Abigail?
Oh, yes. My butler, Witherspoon, spent the entire afternoon searching for her, going round and round the block calling Fifi. Fifi! Fifi!
With what results?
With the result that he was soundly trounced by a brutal truck driver at whom he happened to be looking when he last called Fifi.
Well, don't worry about her, Abigail. She probably eloped with some traveling air date.
Don't be ridiculous, Mr. McGee. Fifi would have nothing to do with other dogs. Why, she was almost as human as I.
Well, now that that golden opportunity has slipped past, let's drop the...
Well, let's discuss something more amusing. Now, look at these old love letters of mine, Abigail. I found them in the attic. Shall I read you a couple of them?
No.
Oh, my dear, please do anything to get my mind off poor little Fifi.
Oh, I don't know why you're worrying about that mud, Uppy.
Oh.
Personally, I've always considered Fifi the kind of a dog that shouldn't happen to anybody.
Oh.
Yes, forget your grief for a minute, Abigail. I want to read you one of these letters.
No, Molly, please. Them letters are sacred between me and you.
Oh, don't be so fussy, dearie.
Oh.
Listen to this one, Mrs. Uppington. Oh, darling Molly Cuddle. When you refused to kiss me after the basketball game tonight, you broke my heart into tiny fragments. And, sweetheart, there aren't many cures for a broken heart.
Oh, good heavens. Many cures.
What's the matter, Uppy?
Many cures. Oh, I just remembered.
Huh?
I forgot and left Fifi at the beauty parlor getting a Marcel and a manicure.
Oh,
the dear little thing. Why, the little precious must be almost suffocated under that horrible dryer. Oh, Meg, do excuse me. Oh, Mother's coming, Fifi. Mother's coming.
Father Tilton sings Bayou, Bayou.
Bayou, Bayou, the Louisiana lullaby. It's sweet and low. You sing it as you rock a by. Bayou, Bayou, the Louisiana lullaby. It's blue, I know. It makes the weeping willow cry each night by the light of the movie. I can hear it calling softly. It seems to whisper, come back with your June dream. Southland's waiting. Dixie wants me. Bayou, Bayou, I wish I hadn't said goodbye. I love it so, the Louisiana lullaby. Each night by the light of the moonbeam, I can hear it calling softly. Southland's calling, Dixie's waiting. Bayou, Bayou, I wish I hadn't said goodbye. I love it so. It's the Louisiana lullaby. Bayou.
Hey, Molly. Mrs. McGee.
Yes. You speaking to me, dearie?
Speaking? I was yelling so loud, my thorax will be thore for 7 days.
Well, I'm sorry. I was so interested in these letters, I didn't hear you.
You know, Molly, I got thinking. Maybe I was wrong about those letters. They're not so bad. They're kind of poetic.
Oh, they're pretty drippy, McGee. You were absolutely right about destroying them.
No, now, wait a minute, Molly. After thinking it over, after all, you can... Hey, what you going to do?
I'm going to throw them out the window onto the trash pile.
No!
There.
Oh, gee, Molly, I don't think you should have done that.
Well, you were the one that wanted me to throw them out.
Yeah, but after thinking it over and hearing you read them...
Come in.
Oh, hello there, folks. I do hope I'm not intruding.
Hi, Wimple, old man.
Of course you're not intruding, Mr. Wimple. We were just cleaning out some old rubbish. Old love letters and things.
Oh, I could imagine a man writing a love letter to you, Mrs. McGee. But my wife, oh, she'd never stand for such nonsense.
Ah, come, Mr. Wimple. Every woman has a streak of sentiment down in her heart someplace.
Not if she hasn't got a heart down in her someplace.
Your bitter half sounds like a pretty chilly character, Wimble.
Oh, she's really a wonderful woman, Mr. McGee. And she's a great help to me when I'm writing verses for greeting cards.
She is, really.
Yes, indeedy. Lots of times when I'm sitting there beating my brains out for a rhyme, she comes in and helps me.
I think I've met your wife someplace, Wimple.
Could it have been on Halloween, riding a broom?
Don't you ever lose your temper with her, Mr. Wimple?
Oh, I've learned to control myself, Mrs. McGee. Yoga, you know.
Yoga? How does it work, Wimple?
Oh, just sitting still and concentrating. preferably in solitude, Mr. McGee.
Oh.
I just sit for hours and hours imagining that my soul is free. Sometimes I sit cross-legged all day long, locked in a little room under our front stairs.
Well, what's the result?
The result is that eventually my wife unlocks the door and I apologize and then she lets me out. Well, goodbye now. Don't come over to our house sometime. You'd hate it.
Poor Mr. Wimple. You know, he's a little martyr, isn't he?
Yeah, but he wouldn't be a little martyr if he was a little smarter. Hey, Molly, can I have some root beer now?
Oh, wait a few minutes, dearie. Let's finish our work first. Now, let's see. If you'll take the rugs out and beat them. Oh, dear. Come in.
How do you do? Is Moonbeam here?
Who, Bud?
Moonbeam, otherwise known as Gorgeous Girl, My Peoria Prairie Flower, Sugar Bun, and Gypsy Sweetheart.
What on earth is this man... Oh, those letters.
You mean even he knows about them letters of mine?
Ah, you must be the captain of the Dreamboat.
Oh,
God. Alias Tootsie. Alias a million kisses from you know and desperate. Allow me, Tootsie, to return your letters.
And where did you get these letters, sir?
Madam, I assure you that I have committed no offense against the postal regulations. I am not a mailbox marauder by nature. I was examining the house next door with a view towards renting it. And passing by your window, I was suddenly struck on the fedora by an avalanche of Billy Doo. And if Billy should do it again, I should be tempted to cram them down his sentimental gullet. Here, Dreamboat. Good day, Moonbeam.
The nerve of that guy. He read them.
All right, dearie. Let me take them.
Here. Hey, what you going to do with them?
I'm going to burn them. Give me a minute.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Molly. Let's not be hasty.
What do you mean?
Well, in spite of my embarrassment, everybody that's heard of it, read any of those letters, they thought they were pretty good. So I've been thinking maybe I could sell them to a magazine or some book publisher. Maybe they wouldn't be worth much, but it'd be something.
You'll never publish my love letters, McGee. No, sir. I promised I'd burn them up, and I'm going to.
Oh, Molly, please. Don't do that. You haven't got any right to.
Oh, yes, I have, dearie. They were mine.
Well, I wrote them, didn't I?
No.
What?
These letters were for Motus Cadwallader.
Oh. Hey, Moonbeam.
Yes, Dreamboat.
Can I have some root beer now?
Say, have you seen the new autographed picture of Fibber and Molly that dealers are now offering free? It's really great. An entirely new photograph of Fibber and Molly, and it contains pictures of the cast, too. How can you get one of these pictures for yourself? Listen, all you have to do is buy Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Glow Coat, or any Johnson's Wax polish in pint or pound size or larger. Your dealer will give you the autographed picture free. But I must warn you that his supply is strictly limited. When they're gone, there won't be any more. So see your dealer right away. Buy Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Glow Coat, or any Johnson's Wax polish in pint or pound size or larger. And while they last, you'll receive this handsome autographed picture free.
I'm sure glad you threw them letters out, Molly. You don't feel any bad effects from them, do you?
You mean, do I feel like crying?
No, I mean, did you catch cold, you know, wading through all that slush?
Now, McGee, you're just jealous of Otis Cadwallader. You know, he was a very nice boy and a wonderful dancer.
Oh, sure, he was a wonderful dancer. He had to learn to dance.
Why did he?
The fellas down at the pool room gave him the hot foot so often.
McGee.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night, and reminding you that America's first line of defense is you and your support. So invest to the best of your ability in defense saving bonds.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. Each week, we bring you the finest from radio's golden age. Next week, we will conclude our tribute to Fibber McGee and Molly with a couple of shows from the World War II era. Until then, This is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.